excited to hear about how people are growing in faith and we're growing numerically. This is a real work of the Holy Spirit in you. Well, friends, this morning I'm going to speak about how to pray. And this is a continuing, as you know, in our series on prayer. Now, I've been a Christian for 44 years, or just over that. And in that time, I'd have to say prayer has not been one of my strong points. And it's easy for a minister like myself or Steve to get up in front of a growing church and outline what the Bible says about life and prayer. But it's another thing to put it into action and to live it. And so I want to confess to you this morning that I have found disciplined prayer quite difficult in parts of my life. And finding the time, whether it be in a growing family or the discipline of doing that, keeping concentration going, believing that my prayers are going to make a difference, and submitting to God in prayer. Now, I have to probably explain something about myself. I have what you might call a racehorse temperament, a fairly activist sort of temperament. And I want to do great things for God in my life and the communities that I'm part of. And that's just the way God has made me to be a bit of a racehorse. But there's a problem with that temperament. In being an activist, it means that stopping or slowing down, or more importantly, submitting to God in prayer can be a real challenge. Because, you know, it's not the first thing you do. You and I can easily be sucked into thinking that prayer might be something passive or ineffectual. And it's only for people who can't do the work of God and just sort of for those people it's shelved with. And there is a problem in that, is that we don't rely upon God's strength and direction. And prayer, no doubt, was one of the most important disciplines in Jesus' life and is important in Christian life. Prayer was primary in the life of our Lord Jesus. And he taught his disciples how to pray, we read in that passage. And however, if the truth be known, we all struggle with prayer, don't we? If I want to make you feel guilty, I'll ask you, how's your prayer life going? It could always be better, couldn't it? We want to be reliant more upon God and communicate with him. And the disciples, as they were walking and talking and living with Jesus, they saw that he was a man of prayer. And they said, you know, they obviously recognized their own struggles and say, Jesus, John's disciples taught them how to pray, and we see you're a man of prayer. Could you teach us? Because we struggle here. Could you teach us how to pray so we can pray like you do? And I want to say prayer is something that can be taught and learned. And when one of his disciples said, teach me how to pray, Jesus then put up a model of prayer. A model of prayer. So, and this same model of prayer can be taught by using the very words of what we call the Lord's Prayer, or it can be a model of our prayers or an example in our prayer life. So let me go through five things that the Lord's Prayer models or teaches us about prayer. Five things. And the first thing is, the Lord's Prayer teaches us about our intimacy with God. We read in verse 2 there, Father. In fact, and the other ancient texts say Our Father in Heaven. So when we say the Lord's Prayer, we haven't made up any extra words that weren't in the Bible. But it speaks of who God is. He is our Father. And because Jesus has enabled us to have our sins forgiven, we have been now adopted as members of God's family. The awesome, all-powerful, holy God wants us to come to Him in prayer and address Him as our Heavenly Father in heaven. As a father wants best for his children, so God loves us and wants to shower upon us His blessing. And what greater blessing is that we can enjoy the intimacy of our Heavenly Father? When we pray, we come into the very throne room of God. We have access to God and speak to Him. What an honour that is. What a privilege it is to speak to the Lord of Lords, because He wants us to. He wants to hear what we have to say, and He's eager to grant whatever we ask in faith. Well, the second thing that Jesus teaches us in His prayer is a prayer to honour and serve God. He says, Our Father who in heaven, and then He says in verse 2, Hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom comes. Jesus' prayer teaches us that the purpose here on earth is to honour our God, to grow His fame and name, to bring about the coming of the kingdom of God through serving Him here on earth and others. So our life and our prayers should be God-centred and honouring to Him. They should be about growing the kingdom of God, just like the prayers on the land were yesterday for praying for our community. The third thing that Jesus' prayer teaches us is that it's a prayer for God's sustaining in our life. He says, Give us each day our daily bread. Bread. Bought a loaf of bread from Baker's Delight just over in the centre over the road there this morning. And when Jesus is referring to bread, He's referring to the physical and spiritual aspects of our life that we need here on earth. You see, in those days, bread was the basics of life. And it was the thing that sustained you. So when you ask for bread, you're asking God, please would you give me the things I need? And so, when we take bread, it's good. It's good because God gives us what we need. It's a real blessing. Just let me say, Chris, just so you can try this out. It is good. So we ask for a good thing. Lord, would you give us the things we need? Not the things necessarily we want, but the things that will sustain me in life. And God will only give us what we, you know, is good for us and necessary. And as I said, bread represents in that culture and mostly in our cultures, maybe not in Asian cultures. I think rice is more representative of things that sustain us in Asian cultures. But bread represents food, shelter, relationships with people we love. It represents all that we need to live here on earth. And unless God supplies the sunshine and the rain. Nothing will grow and mature in the harvest. And we need God's help to use the bread he gives us, and not just not just food, but the resources he gives us, whether it be money or time or talents, and not to waste them. Well, daily food is necessary for our well-being. Bread also represents the richness of life and relationships that we have with God and others. And that richness of life is, as I said, has happened in the Lord Jesus for us. And how do we enjoy that richness? Well, we come here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and enjoy worshipping God. Enjoy coming under his word and prayer and the relationships we have as the people of God here in Life Anglican Church, Stanhope. Yep, it's important that we do that. It's important that we do that during the week as well, where we are accountable for each other and pray for each other in life groups especially. And so we all should be praying for our personal needs, the things that will sustain us in this life, and not just food. Well, the fourth area that Jesus teaches us how to pray is for spiritual renewal. We read in your Bibles in verse 4, "And forgive us our sins," he goes on to say, "as we ourselves also forgive everyone who's indebted to us." Forgiveness is made possible by Jesus. And when Jesus came to live and die to rise again, he's taken down the barrier that we have with God. And we now have an open relationship with God. We have forgiveness. And forgiveness eliminates guilt and gives us peace of mind and conscience. Without bread, we cannot live physically. And without the bread of life, we cannot have forgiveness, and we cannot live in eternity. So, of all the needs we have, none is more greater than forgiveness. Do you find it hard to say sorry? Do you? I do. I'm blessed to be involved in the Life Anglican Church has 10 congregations, and one of them is a South Sudanese congregation. And if something bad happens, their first response is saying sorry. But that's not mine. I wonder, it's probably not most Western cultures' basis when something goes wrong or if you've contributed, because we are so proud and so sort of set in our ways that it is hard for us to say sorry. And there are some people, I think, who've never said sorry in their life because they feel like they've got nothing to apologise for. And when we ask God to forgive us, we need to say sorry. Please forgive us, Lord. I'm a sinner. I have sinned against you, God. Only you can forgive me. Wipe away my sins. It's appropriate that we say this in our prayers. It puts us in perspective to what God has done and who we are. And so he says, and forgive us our sins. Rightly so. And then he goes on to say, as we ourselves also forgive one another who is indebted to us. The forgiveness that we ask from God must flow on to others. It's not a private matter just between you and God. You cannot expect God's forgiveness of yourself if you are unwilling to forgive others who have wronged you. Friends, forgiveness is essential in the Christian life. And God's forgiveness of us and for us forgiving others is so, so important. And it's important to reflect that in our prayers. Well, the fifth thing that Jesus teaches in this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is that for spiritual protection. He says, lead us not into temptation in verse 4. Now, there are many forms of temptation. It's not wrong to be tempted. Jesus himself was tempted. So when he says, lead us not into temptation, it doesn't mean that we won't be tempted. The part of living in this world is we're going to be tempted. And so what are three categories of temptation? Is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, if we're tempted, when we lead us not into temptation with the world, is to reject God's authority and not submitting to him, to seek to honour our own fame rather than the benefits of others. Yeah, to be wrapped up in the world's way of thinking and not God's way of thinking. The second temptation or category of temptation that we so often come to is that of the flesh. Impurity, laziness, gluttony, drunkenness, greed, and deceitfulness. These things are all around us and within us. And we need to ask God's help at the point of temptation. And the third area of temptation is that of the devil. He incites us to disbelieve or disregard the word of God. He takes any opportunity to plunge us into despair and even denial of God. Now, we must expect temptations to come our way. And it says, lead us not into temptation. It doesn't mean that we're exempt from temptation. Rather, the Lord's Prayer, if it doesn't make any difference in your life, it's not because it's invalid. It's rather that we don't understand the prayer. How can I expect God to answer my prayer for daily bread when I might be lazy or irresponsible? Or how can I expect God to forgive me when I'm not prepared to forgive others? Or how can I expect God to keep me from temptation when I choose to remain in a situation of enormous temptation? Yeah, we've got to not succumb to temptation and not live in the context where we might be vulnerable to temptation. Well, let me try and pull all this together then. We need to be making prayer our priority, friends. If we are to be serious with God, if we are to be fair dinkum, then our heartfelt and passionate prayers to God, we need to make it as an important part of our life. We need to be spending time and energy bringing our life and concerns to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Prayer is such a vital link that we have. Let us not take it for granted or play down this incredible gift that He's given to us, because it works. God wants to hear what you and I have to say. In fact, He chooses to work through your prayers and mine. It's the conduit. If we want people to, in our area, to come to know Jesus, He wants you and I to be praying for them. If we want God's name honoured, we need to be praying for that. If we want our Life Anglican Church here at Stanhope to grow, we need to be praying for it. We ask God to bless it. And so what does that look like? Well, with all the electronic devices that we have in our homes, it might mean switching them off. Discipline around it and not having them on all the time in our homes where it dominates us. It might mean that you might have to get up And Steve, tell me, what's today's special celebration for today? International something?
Stay in bed day.
International stay in bed day today. Steve knows all about this. Well, that's not about us. Well, it means we need to do something about it. Well, set the alarm. Put it 30 minutes earlier than you normally do. I know another 30 minutes would be great to get of sleep, especially if you're sleep deprived. I understand. I've had kids grow up in my family and everything else. I know what it's like. But how else can we talk to God if we don't set time apart for Him? So why not set the alarm and pray? Put your faith in action. It could be a spot at lunchtime you could go at work on your own. It could be that what's happening this Tuesday night. Just remind us again, Steve.
8 o'clock, my place, praying for one another.
Bingo. It could be we go and pray with our pastor about people and those whom we love. What a good thing to do, to prioritise that, rather than just, I'll have another night at home on Tuesday night. If you have personal prayer needs, if you want someone to pray for you, then ask. I know many people in this congregation would want to help by bringing to God your needs. And it might be a personal need for healing, for a job. Then whatever it is, may they help you in your intercession with God. I just want to say, just do it. We could rattle on about all the different ways we could pray and driving and leaving your eyes open, and all those things that we hear people do in prayer. Fine. Just do it. Just get engaged with God. Yes, there have been times and seasons in my life where there has been prayerlessness. But make sure it's not the four seasons of life. Alright? If you realise that you're going through a dry time, work on it. Ask for help and ask God to help you. And so, friends, I just want to say prayer is important. We live in a society that is rapidly turning away from God, and Christians and the gospel seems to be increasingly more and more marginalised. And our world needs to hear the message of Jesus more and more. They are so far away from God. Think about your neighbours. Think about your children. Think about your grandchildren. Pray for them. There's no better thing to do if you want them to come to know Jesus than to pray for them. Not just, yeah, I wish Jessica would become a Christian one day. No. Bring it to God and pray from the heart what's on your heart. You see, we can all be, intellectual about this, but we need to do it. We need to put our prayers into action. So, where is your passion for prayer this morning? God is calling us this morning, friends, to be people of prayer. God can do incredible things in your prayers. He can change your finances. He can change your health. He can change the hearts of friends and loved ones to turn to Christ. He can change the attitudes of governments and kings. You see, God could fill this, I don't know how he'd do it, but only God could. He could fill this church to be four times the size what it is this morning. He could do that. Are we bold enough to ask that God would grow, our Stanhope church like this? I know we'd have to do some lot of changes. I know it might be a little bit more uncomfortable to get more people here, but we should be praying. There are thousands of people in our community who are going to a Christless eternity, and God is calling us to pray for them so that the lost can be found. Of course, the first thing we do is pray. And I know you do, and I'm just calling you to keep praying. And not just be off-peak prayers. You know what off-peak prayers are? People who pray on Sunday and late at night. Okay? We're going to be praying more often and more regularly. And so, I want to encourage you this morning to make prayer a reality and a priority. Steve, could you help me with this prayer? So I'm going to conclude this morning by praying this prayer, and Steve's going to help me. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Not our name, Lord. May you get the attention, not us. May you get the glory, not us. May you get the praise and acclaim, not us.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven.
May your empire expand, not ours. May your will be done, not ours. May your desires and wants for us be fulfilled, not ours. In every area of our lives, may your purposes be fulfilled, not ours.
Give us today our daily bread.
Don't give us everything we need for a lifetime, so we forget to live in daily dependence on you. Please give us what we need for today to accomplish your will, glorify and reflect your generosity to us.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
May we be as forgiving as you are, not harbouring grudges, hurts or disappointments against others, ourselves or even you.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lead us in the path of growth and fruitfulness. Remove evil from within us. Help us not to absorb or pick up new forms, thoughts or habits of evil. May the bright lights of worldliness and sin have no attraction for us.
For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen.